driver safety, and new laws. This Thursday, new Maine driver safety laws go into effect. The law receiving the most attention and the one that will affect every driver on the road is the state's new no texting law. It not only outlaws texting, but also prohibits any handheld phone use, including holding your phone to your ear while you talk or holding your phone while following GPS directions. Another new law addresses car seats. Toddlers will be expected to be in rear-facing seats up till age 2. And older kids will now need to remain in car seats with harnesses much longer. I'm Jennifer Rooks. The laws are designed to cut down on traffic-related deaths and injuries. Are you confused by what will be and won't be allowed? Give us a call. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The laws for driving while using a cell phone in Maine are about to change. Today, we're going to learn what's allowed and not allowed and discuss other safe driving issues. Joining me in the studio, Pat Moody. He is Public Affairs Manager and Driving Instructor at AAA of Northern New England, and Lieutenant Bruce Scott with the Maine State Police Traffic Safety Unit. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you glad or mad that the rules about texting and driving are getting stricter? Do you have questions about other driver safety concerns or laws? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. We will get to this conversation in just a minute, but first, we understand we have Patty White on the line with us, Maine Public reporter Patty White, who is in Farmington, where there has just been a press briefing about the explosion. Patty, what are we learning?
Hi, Jennifer. Well, what we're learning is that a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning, firefighters responded to a call of a gas smell at a building on a thoroughfare in Farmington. It houses a social services agency. They went to inspect it, and while they were investigating, there was an explosion. And one firefighter was killed. Five others were injured. They've all been life-flighted. It was a total of 6 people injured. 4 other firefighters, 1 employee of the social services agency, and 1 employee from North Star Ambulance.
Patty, because they were life-flighted, that would lend one to believe that the injuries are serious. Do we know anything about the injuries of the others?
All we know is that they their injuries are burn injuries. We don't really know anything more in terms of how critical those injuries are, but very, very serious because of their burn injuries.
Patty, what are people in Farmington saying about the explosion? I understand it was really, really large and could be felt a long way away.
Yeah, people are saying they could feel it from miles away. Scott Landry, a local selectman, he said that he lives about 3 miles away. He felt it. And people are saying that, you know, they're in shock that this was, you know, a whole firefighter unit that responded to this that was injured. And of course, one member died who was a longtime member. We don't know the identity, but and apparently, I don't think that there any firefighter has been killed in the line of duty in Farmington. So I think everyone's kind of in shock here.
Patty, thank you so much for calling in, and I'll let you return to your reporting. Patty White is on the scene of the explosion at the LEAP building in Farmington. Again, one firefighter killed, others injured. And, of course, we'll have much more on this story later today on Maine Public Radio. Getting back to the topic at hand, and what we're talking about is safety, a different kind of safety. We're talking about traffic safety, and we're doing this program today, Pat Moody, because there's a new distracted driving law going into effect on Thursday. What are some of the reasons that using cell phones while driving has become such a hazard?
You know, when you look at just driver behavior in general, we know that about 94% of all crashes are related to somebody making a mistake out there on the road. So it's not the vehicles, it's not the roads, it's the drivers and what they're doing, decisions they're making. And when it comes to distracted driving, we're killing about 9 people every single day and injuring another 1,000. So You know, distraction is definitely top of mind amongst traffic safety professionals and really amongst a lot of people. We're surveying our members and we're finding out that, you know what, these conversations are happening at, you know, the breakfast table, the dinner table, friends and family talking about distraction and how they see it out there on the road. So something very concerning that we need to address, and we started to take those steps.
What are the nuts and bolts of the new law, Lieutenant? Under what circumstance may I have my phone in my hand?
Well, that's a great question. No circumstance will you be able to travel with any electronic handheld device, including a cell phone. So you're going to have to make sure you park it somewhere before you start to drive. Put it down, mount it, affix it somewhere, and then begin your trip.
So I can't, even if I am sitting in the parking lot and punch something into my GPS, I can't drive with my left hand and hold it in my right hand?
That's correct. You can go ahead and enter that information into your GPS, and then once you start driving, you can't touch that device again.
So do you need to put it in a mount? In your cup holder?
If you're talking about a cell phone and you want to have that advantage of being able to touch it, there's a one-tap touch or swipe allowed in the statute. That's only if it's mounted or affixed. So if it's not mounted or affixed, if it's just sitting in your lap or in the seat beside your holder, then you would not be able to touch it at all.
Okay. So come Thursday, when this law goes into effect, what are law enforcement officers around the state of Maine going to do? Are they going to be issuing warnings?
Probably not. We're here to make sure that the word gets spread and that everybody understands the law. And I know that there's been some discussion on how do you gradually implement this type of law or statute. And we give discretion to police officers to decide what's the best approach. So we want to get ahead of it and participate in events like this. We've been plugging in our social media. We've been talking about it for months. And we think that Thursday is time for us to start taking enforcement action.
Okay. Well, joining us on the line now, Senator Bill Diamond, a Democratic state senator from Cumberland. Thanks for calling in, Senator Diamond.
Oh, you're welcome, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. Tell us why you decided to sponsor the new distracted driving law. What was wrong with the old one?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, there are so many. By the way, I want to thank Lieutenant Scott and Pat Moody. They played critical roles in getting this passed. We've tried now. This is maybe our third attempt to try to prevent people from holding phones while driving. We were able to get it done this time. And I think it's obvious the biggest problem is distraction, and the biggest problem amongst distractors is the whole issue of texting. And I think Lieutenant Scott can say clearly, along with other law enforcement people, that when someone has a phone in their hand and they're distracted, or at least it appears like they're texting, all they have to say is, no, I wasn't texting. I was just punching in some numbers. The bottom line is the same. They're not safe. We've all seen it happen, all the things that happen on the highway where people are swerving or they're going way too fast or way too slow. And it just got to the point where we knew, and I think everybody else in the legislature knew, we had to do something for the safety of the public.
What do we know about similar laws in other states? Have we seen driver injuries and fatalities go down?
I think AAA, and Pat was right here, and he can share that. Some of the things we heard in the testimony for this bill was, in fact, that did happen. It did have an impact, a positive impact on the amount of distraction. And I think clearly when people are not allowed to have the phone in their hands, then they won't be tempted to do all the things that they do with these phones ordinarily, such as FaceTime or browsing or doing all the things that people do and now are doing while they're driving because they can hold the phone. All of that will be taken away, which is, I think, has been the results in other states.
All right. Well, Pat, what do we know?
Yeah, you know, this, like Senator Diamond said, this is kind of a comprehensive approach to it. We started off with not having texting while driving allowed and saw those issues. A couple of other nearby states that have passed laws, New Hampshire and Vermont, in the last, I want to say, 4 or 5 years, New Hampshire's reporting that they're seeing a reduction in some of their distracted driving behavior. But, you know, I think the phenomenon is growing anyways. More and more people are getting smartphones, and they're able to do so many more things on them. So that's really a hard, we're chasing some of the technology here. And the other thing that's really important to think about and remember, too, is that our cars are now getting the infotainment systems in place that, you need to communicate or you're trying to do different things, whether it's adjust the radio or make a call or send a text. And what we know with that is that that's dangerous too. Even though your hands are on the wheel and your eyes are on the road, your mind is not on the driving tasks. Those systems are not perfect. They're making mistakes. They're frustrating. And they're causing more eyes off the time and errors to be made. So
your point is, even though Bluetooth is still legal, it's still not a good idea.
Right. You know, where this law, like Senator Diamond said, is it's a step in the right direction. It's probably going to help us out with this situation, but it's not the end all. We're not saying that it's safer to start talking Bluetooth or whatnot. That's not what we're telling you. We're saying take the device out of the hands. They're less likely to Snapchat, surf Facebook, you name it, and more likely to keep their eyes on the road.
Bill Diamond, before we let you go, I want to ask you, you've made driver safety one of your priorities as a senator. What message do you want to convey to Maine drivers?
Just that, please, I know I'm asking, or we're all asking for a culture change, but this has become so serious now that I would ask everybody to please put the phone down, pay attention to driving. There are many more cars than there ever has been before, and there's a lot going on out there, and there are people walking and biking and all of that, so put the phone down, please. Pay attention to your driving, and we'll do all we can to support you in that effort and maybe convince you as well. So it's a serious problem, and it's time we addressed it.
Well, thank you for joining us, Bill. That was State Senator Bill Diamond. Lieutenant Scott, let's talk about the way the law has been put into use up till this point. It's been difficult for law enforcement officers to enforce this distracted driving law, as it has been called up till this point.
Yes, correct. In 2009, there was a law that was put on the books, and it was for failure to maintain control of a motor vehicle. And essentially, it said that if you are using any device that's not necessary for the operation of the vehicle, and it does indeed cause you to be distracted, that we could pull you over if you committed another violation. And so the problem with that is you're waiting for a violation to occur. There was no way to stop somebody from doing something that you knew or thought was certainly distracting to the average motorist. You had to wait for a violation to occur. You had to wait for them to speed, to drift, to blow through a stop sign, to not stop at a light, pass a stop school bus, to do some dangerous behavior, and then we could stop them and we could deal with it through that means. Then in 2011, they created a statute that prohibited texting in and of itself. We all recognize the danger and the harm in texting while driving, because not only does it take your eyes off the road for 4 or 5 seconds, it takes your mind off the road. And so that was a great step. We knew that it was distracting. We knew that that shouldn't be allowed. So then you didn't have to prove that there was any real driving behavior. You just had to prove that there was somebody that was texting. Sounded simple. We went out there and we tried to enforce that. Now we know that we're not looking for that dangerous violation. We're just looking for somebody texting. You pull that vehicle over because you believe they're texting. There were so many things that you were lawfully allowed to do with your phone that we had to prove you were texting, not that you were surfing for a phone number, that you were looking for a different song, that you were changing the volume. And that would be the excuse that you got when you pulled somebody over. And you'd say, well, it really looked like you were texting, but if I can't prove that, if law enforcement can't prove that you were texting, that statute didn't fit. If you didn't have any other violations, there's no charge.
Mm. I understand that this law even applies if you're stopped at a stoplight.
That's correct. I mean, we still expect you to be in control of a vehicle, and there's many, many examples where people that are stopped become distracted and are no longer stopped. And I can give you an example where I actually saw a crash occur right beside me when I was in my personal vehicle about 2 years ago. Stopped at a light. There was a female sitting in a car texting beside me. And I pointed out to my wife that this person's texting. I hope she's paying attention. The left turning lane light turns green. Everybody in the left lane starts to go. She's in the right lane, but sees out of her peripheral vision traffic's moving, and she lets off the brake, steps on the gas, and slams into the back of a truck. And that's because she thought everybody had already left. She was distracted. She wasn't paying attention to what was happening right in front of her. And so this would be a great example of, even though you're stopped and it sounds like it might be okay and safe, it's not. We expect you to control that vehicle. Anything could happen during that time, and you need to be prepared to react and not be engaged in a text.
Pat.
Yeah, the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety, that's the research branch of AAA. And we've studied that specific issue is are you distracted after you engage with that conversation? And what we found was that up to 27 seconds after you've engaged with your phone or through your infotainment system at a stoplight, you have that 27 seconds of a hangover afterwards. So the research supports that piece of the law as well.
All right. Well, I want to talk about another law that's going into effect, changing how long kids need to be in child safety seats. The rear-facing seats now up to 2 years old, unless you happen to have a kid who's really, really big, off the charts in size.
Yeah. This is an adjustment to the child passenger safety law. And I think for years and years, Maine has been on the forefront of keeping our children safe from the booster seat laws and whatnot. The real important thing with this is that parents pay attention to the manufacturer's directions in terms of the upper limits of the seat. So you want the child staying rear facing as long as they can up to the 2 years of age. But you also need to pay attention to those limits of the seat. So make sure you're following the manufacturer's.
Right. And keeping children into the seat with the individual straps as opposed to just the safety belt in the car as long as possible, up to age 5 or 6, correct?
Right, yeah, with the forward facing when you have the 5-point harness instead of the booster seat, which, you know, the booster seat is essentially just boosting the child up so that they'll fit in what these seat belts were designed for, which was an adult.
Right, and seatbelts are designed for the weight of an adult as well, to
correct,
stop when the weight comes forward. There is a list, a very comprehensive list put out by the state with places that you can have your car seats checked, inspected, and tightened up, and we will be putting that on our Facebook page. Lieutenant, I want to talk about some laws that are in place, but people don't seem to know about them. One that I have had very recent experience with on two different occasions. Once I was on a walk, once I was on a bike ride, and somebody honked at somebody else, not me. But in both cases, it really scared me. When can you honk and when should you not honk?
Well, statute only allows you to use that as a signaling or warning device. So other than that, it's actually against the law to use your horn.
So because you're mad, because you want to teach someone a lesson, because you want to say, hey, what you just did was not cool, is not a reason to honk.
No, it would only be to warn another motorist or a pedestrian, a bicyclist, of some type of behavior that could get them hurt.
Yeah, but keep in mind, I will say that if there's somebody on the sidewalk or on the side of the road, that a really long, loud honk can be very dangerous.
I agree. And it can also startle animals, which can cause a real problem. If you had somebody who's mounted on a horse and somebody sounded their horn unnecessarily, that horse could run into traffic and cause a collision. And that also is against the law to frighten an animal.
Talk to me about headlights. When are headlights supposed to be on?
They're supposed to be on at sunset and at daybreak and also during inclement weather. So that could be when your wiper's in continuous motion, whether it's snow or sleet, rain, any type of visibility issues or concerns.
What do you think about people who put their headlights on every time they drive?
Well, I don't have a problem with it per se. I think that if we can see them, then perhaps that we can avoid them. So I think being visible is extremely important. I really don't have any concern whatsoever if they want to drive with them on all the time. Sounds like a safe option to me.
All right. Well, we're talking about driver safety. We're especially talking about the brand new cell phone law that goes into effect Thursday. If you have questions, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine energy audit and insulation rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com. By the Maine Health Cancer Care Network, world-class cancer care right here in the place that gives strength, home. And the law offices of Joe Bornstein, Maine lawyers committed to working for Maine people since 1974. Learn more at joebornstein.com.
Hey, it's David Green. I know the kids are back in school. Presidential candidates are hitting the campaign trail, and the news, it never stops shifting. Time to make a game plan to get back in the swing of things. Start each day on the right foot with the latest on the upcoming elections, plus national, global, and local news each and every morning. Let's get started. Listen to Morning Edition every day from NPR News.
Monday through Friday, starting at 6 a.m. here on Maine Public Radio. The United Nations Climate Action Summit takes place in New York next week. This week, more than 170 news outlets from around the world, including both NPR and Maine Public News, are taking part in a series called Covering Climate Now. Throughout this week, you'll hear stories on climate news and issues. On Maine Public Radio, you'll hear reporting on Morning Edition, Here and Now, and All Things Considered. Maine Calling takes a look at rising sea levels this Friday. More information is at mainepublic.org/climate now.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about distracted driving and other safe driving issues. Joining me, Maine State Police Lieutenant Bruce Scott and Pat Moody with AAA of Northern New England. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to Stu, who's calling from Holden. Hi, Stu. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a question about regarding Bluetooth earpieces, that you can touch that earpiece to answer a call or talking on that Bluetooth, or a Bluetooth system that's built into the vehicle. Is that considered against this new law?
No, so you are allowed to do a one touch, one swipe, or one tap. The law does not include the infotainment center of your vehicle. So if you're actually touching the screen on a vehicle to do your one touch or swipe, that would be perfectly legal.
All right, there you go, Stu. Tweet, I believe I heard the language that you can't hold, quote, any electronic device. Would this include e-cigarettes, vaporizers, or any other handheld devices people wouldn't normally think of? Are these devices allowed to be used while driving under the current law?
That's a great question and something that we've talked about. It's not the legislative intent. We do know that police officers will apply discretion, and we're hoping that there's a clear understanding that that is not the type of electronic device that was implied with this statute. They're talking about handheld devices that would distract you, that you would manipulate or interact with. They're not talking about an e-cigarette.
All right. A Facebook comment from Bob. It seems to me that, well, good intended, this law will be hard to enforce. Most of the time I'm on the road, I don't see any law enforcement vehicles. I'm guessing you're going to say just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there.
Well, that's a great point. We do have a lot of unmarked vehicles, and of course, I only represent one agency, but there's approximately 3,500 police officers in the state of Maine that they are out there. They're traveling and they're busy, but they'll do their best to enforce this with the other statutes. It's really a matter of priority.
An email comment from Michelle. This new handheld law does feel like something that will target those with lower income, those who aren't able to afford a mountable GPS or vehicles with Bluetooth phone connect options. For these reasons, I feel like this new law will see a lot of lower income people ticketed versus higher income.
Yeah, I would. That discussion came up quite a bit, I think, in the debate at the legislature. And being able to purchase a earpiece at the dollar store. I mean, right now you can buy a piece that can go in your ear. It might not be Bluetooth, but it could connect to your phone and you could still do the one swipe. So that debate didn't last a whole long.
We'll go to Elise calling from Rockland. Hi, Elise. Go ahead.
Hi. I am an emergency responder and recently went on a collision call of a young woman who blew through a stop sign and T-boned another car. And thankfully, everyone was okay, but she exclaimed that her GPS navigational tool didn't tell her there was a stop sign and that the other person must have been at fault. And I was astounded and am wondering, are there navigational apps out there that supposedly tell you when you have a stop sign or a traffic light?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've heard of those before. I've heard stories similar to that where cars have ended up in the ocean because they said the road continued on and it didn't. I think it comes down to all these different systems and vehicles and the technology. It does not replace an attentive driver, and we need to remember that. So whether you're driving a vehicle that supposedly can do some of the self-driving or, you know, somewhat of that technology, you can't just put your mind on cruise control and rely on that technology. You got to keep your eyes on the road.
Thanks, Elise, for your call. We're going to go to an email from Anita. I'm glad for the new law. My husband and I cycle the roads in Maine and use our bicycles to run local errands. Most of the roads have no shoulder, so we have to balance on the white line close to the asphalt edge. where there are occasionally broken surface or glass or gravel that has to be avoided. I try to be as visible as possible, wearing a fluorescent yellow-green top or jacket, and have bright surveyor's tape ribbons fluttering from my helmet. Nevertheless, it's been scary to know that there are those who may not see me because they are busy talking or texting or navigating on their phone. Thank you for improving my odds of survivability. And Lieutenant, I think that Anita's email is a good time just generally remind people about the laws if you're driving about cyclists. It's 3 feet.
Correct. When you go by a cyclist, you do have to give them at least 3 feet.
And even if there's a double yellow line in the middle of the road, if it's safe to do so, you can cross that line, correct, if you see a cyclist?
You can if it's safe. And if it's not safe, you'll have to stop and wait till it is. But you cannot encroach on that 3 feet.
Okay. A Facebook comment from Agartha. This law also applies to law enforcement officers, correct, including phone and laptop usage while driving?
That is correct.
And so that's going to change a lot, isn't it?
It is going to change a lot. The Maine State Police got behind this years ago, and we actually put software in all of our cruisers and every computer so that if they reach 10 miles an hour, their screen automatically blinked because we wanted to change that culture and behavior, and that's difficult to do, and we understand it. So technology has helped us. Our screens blink at 10 miles an hour.
In law enforcement, I was there in the State House in the Transportation Committee during testimony, and they specifically said, we do not want to carve out. We want to be held to the same standard. So
that's correct.
Lucille in Bangor, go ahead.
Hi. Along the line with the bicyclist, first comment, I have stood at a turning light on Broadway and School Street numerous times. I'm visually impaired, I have a limp, and I walk with a cane, and I have had cars go by my 2 inches from my feet because they do not even look. They go screaming around the corners on those walking lights. And then you see young people jaywalking down by Bangor Savings or Governors because it's so dangerous to cross at the traffic light. So that's comment one. I wish motorists would pay attention and stop and look before they turn on a turning lane. The second comment, I was in an accident down here by where China Light is. We were the third car at the light. I'd never been in an accident before in my life, and I've ridden with numerous people for 50 years. This woman in a car behind us, they got her for inattentive driving because she was either texting or talking, and she caused four cars to have bumper damage. So our car was pushed into the one in front of us, and the woman driving was pregnant. So I think that this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I just hope you can enforce it. We also had a gentleman killed that lives in our apartment complex recently in a car accident. And I don't know for sure, but I heard that someone was texting that rang in or talking on the phone that ran into him. So this is a wonderful thing. And also, kudos to the police, the state police, and the fire department. They do amazing work. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Pat.
So, yeah, distracted driving. It's hard to really get our minds around the stats because people aren't admitting that they're doing it out there. And I think there's a lot of crashes that have contributing factors related to it. We're in the state of Maine, we lose about 150 people a year on our highways. And, you know, when we look at government statistics, they're estimating somewhere around maybe 10-15% of crashes are related to distraction. Some of the other research AAA's done is they put cameras inside the car so they can see what's going on in the seconds leading up to a crash. And one of the things that we found is that it's much greater than that. It's probably closer to 60% of crashes related to distracted driving. So a lot of what we're seeing out there on the road is a result of us making bad choices and not focusing on what's important.
Right. And the situation Lucille was first talking about, I think, is so important to call attention to, especially in Maine's towns and cities, that you're waiting at that red light. It turns green. You're taking a right-hand turn. And some people just take the turn, and a pedestrian has the right of way. It sounds almost too obvious to be saying out loud on the radio, but any of us who lives in any of Maine's towns or cities has seen this happen where someone is almost hit because they're crossing the street.
Yeah, that's correct. We see it every day. And there's one important piece to remember is that if the light or the intersection is controlled by a light, then whoever has the light actually has the right of way. So not to confuse the pedestrian, you don't always have the right of way to crosswalk. You do if it's not controlled by that light. What we don't want is a misunderstanding and then having a vehicle who has the right of way traveling, say, in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, lock up their brakes at an intersection to let a pedestrian come out when they don't have the right-of-way and then get rear-ended. So as long as we're clear on that message, I think that's a better way to talk about that.
Right. And it seems to me, you know, in Lucille's case, she said that she has a visual impairment, and she may not be realizing that the car technically has the right-of-way. I mean, there is some common sense here and some just being a good person.
Right. And we always teach that you never have the right-of-way. You have to be given the right-of-way. And, you know, some of the other research AAA just came out with a few weeks ago was red light running. 1 in 3 people admit to running a red light in the last 30 days. And we lose about 2 people every day in the United States to red light running crashes. So it's about a 28% increase since 2012. So it is an issue. It's problems at our intersections that we really need to get our eyes up and pay attention and follow those right of ways.
All right, Lucille, thank you for your call. We'll go to Lucas calling from Booth Bay. Hi, Lucas. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are really common sense when it comes to driving. I mean, they give you your license for a reason, right? But one of the things I want to mention, I think laws should take effect, are smokers. When they take their cigarette butts, throw them out the windows on the highway, and they hit your windshield and cause sparks all over the place. I think that's kind of dangerous. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't disagree, and that is illegal. You're not allowed to litter in the state of Maine, and certainly if you were to cause a fire, there could be additional charges.
Lucas, thanks for calling in. Facebook comment from Bill wants to know if the law is doing anything while you're driving, like eating or drinking. Does this law, what is the law in Maine, Lieutenant, and what will the law be about eating or drinking while driving?
That's a great question. So as long as the eating or drinking doesn't cause you to fail to maintain control of your vehicle, it's not a violation. This new law has nothing to do with that. But the law that was created in 2009, it really wrapped its mind around that. That's engaging in some other activity that's not necessary for the operation of the vehicle. So if it does indeed cause a distraction, then you can be cited for that. If it doesn't cause a distraction or another violation, then it's perfectly legal.
So some common sense involved. Don't try to eat some soup or some nachos while you're
correct.
Driving, but perhaps okay to eat a cookie.
Yeah, correct.
All right. Well, we're going to go to, let's see here, an email from Lulu. What do you think about newer, extremely bright, bluish headlights? I find they're terribly blinding, worse than normal bright lights, and dangerous.
I'll be glad to comment on that. So the statute is very clear what's authorized and what isn't. And it has to be a white light. Statute does not allow any other color. The problem is blue can be perceived as a light outside of the allowable spectrum, but that may be the purest actual color there is. So depending on what you're looking at, it may or may not be legal. We would have to have a little more information. But the ones that are really overbright, that are creating a glare, are probably illegal. So anything that comes on your vehicle from the manufacturer is fine. That meets the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. As soon as you start tampering with your lights and putting on aftermarket, you may start to violate the law. So you want to make sure that you have a pure white light. You want to make sure that if you had a halogen system, you replace it with a halogen system. There's no aftermarket HID conversions that are lawful, and you'll see those out there, and those are often responsible for the glares, the bright lights, and the hues that are outside of the allowable range. But people can purchase lights that are illegal and still put them in their vehicles and use them off the roadway. And they may get some confusion because I can go buy it at the local store. Why can't I use it? Well, the local store is going to sell it to you because it's not illegal all the time. It's illegal to use on a public way. But the extremely bright lights and those that create any other color than white are illegal.
On the other end of the spectrum, go away from the technology to the older headlights that are worn. You see the yellowed, hazed headlights. That the sun has actually broken down the outer layer of that plastic, you're losing up to about 80% of that illumination, the ability for your car's headlights to light up the way. That can also cause headlight scatter, too, and make that blinding to oncoming cars. So It's really important that you, when you bring your car into your repair facility, that you have them take a look at that, inspect it. Is the does the headlight either need to be replaced, or can they buff it out and get it back to somewhat, probably like 70% of what the original headlight was capable of doing?
Is that part of a regular car inspection?
Yes, it is.
All right. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. There are a lot of them. We're talking about driver safety on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Abbey Museum. Maine's only Smithsonian affiliate, open every day with a full schedule of family-friendly programs and workshops. AbbeyMuseum.org and Fresh Eggs Daily, a Maine company committed to helping you to raise the backyard chicken flock of your dreams. FreshEggsDaily.com.
I'm Greg Dalton. On the next Climate One, what's new in renewable energy?
There's a lot of creativity in this space right now. There's creativity on reducing demand. There's creativity in how we aggregate solar. And frankly, given what's going on with the climate, we sort of need to be trying them all simultaneously.
How renewables are transforming America's energy future on the next Climate One.
Coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio. Are you a regular listener to Morning Edition? When you miss it, do you wish there was some way you could still hear it, even if it's not on the radio? Well, now you can. If you have an Alexa smart speaker, just say, "Smart speaker, please play Morning Edition." Alexa will then ask you which station you want to hear, and you, of course, will say Maine Public Radio. And then Alexa will play back the last full hour of Morning Edition. So you can hear the most recent hour of Morning Edition with Irwin Gratz until 3 each afternoon. At this point in time, this is for only Alexa smart speakers. We'll let you know if Google Home learns how to do this. Thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, safety concerns on the road. Joining me, Pat Moody with AAA of Northern New England and Lieutenant Bruce Scott with the Maine State Police. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can get in line at 1-800-399-3566. We have a Facebook comment from Scott. Could you talk about keeping to the leftmost lane unless passing on the highway?
Well, you have to keep to the right lane unless passing on the highway. So you have to travel in the right lane unless you're overtaking, then you have to return back. If he's talking about an emergency vehicle, then you would have to pass an emergency vehicle in a non-adjacent lane if it's available, or slow down and pass at a reasonable speed.
It seems to me, driving on Maine's highways, that most people don't know that you're not supposed to travel in the left-hand lane.
I think you're right, because we do see that quite often, that they'll go out there and they stay there. We call it camping. Don't camp in the left lane.
Scott, what are you going to be doing on Thursday? How are you going to let people know about this law?
So this coming Thursday, Senator Diamond, myself, and then local law enforcement from Waterville, Augusta, Scarborough, and Windham are going to be holding informational, just public education events, where we're going to be handing out slips that remind people about the law going into effect on Thursday, but also teaching them about how to enact their do not disturb while driving feature. So how to activate that feature on their cell phone. And most people don't realize it, but almost every cell phone has a setting that you can set to kind of pause that text coming in. So the text will come to your phone. You won't get an alert because it's almost impossible not to look at your phone when it dings, right? And you want to say, oh, somebody's getting in touch with me. So it won't alert you that the text came in. It parks it, but it sends a response back to the person that texted you and says, hey, I'm driving right now. It's not safe for me to do this, so I'll get back to you when I'm done driving. So that's one of the messages we're trying to get out. Activate that do not disturb while driving mode on your cell phone. And the one other thing I would mention, too, when we were talking about parking in the left lane, is that slow down, move over law. Whether it's a police officer, a tow truck, somebody else that's working roadside, you need to make sure you slow down, whether you're going by them, move over, give them room to do their job.
Again, common sense. Or as you say, Lieutenant?
Uncommon sense.
We'll go to Steve calling from Brunswick. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, I just had a question to clarify about the new child restraint system. I've got an 8-year-old son who weighs below the 55-pound limit and just wanted to make sure that he was still okay to sit in a booster seat.
Yes, once they reach the age of 8.
There you go, Steve. Is this one of those things where it's legal for him to sit in a booster seat, but it might still be a better idea for him to sit in a different kind of seat?
Yeah, what I would recommend is taken an opportunity to reach out. A lot of times in your community, you'll the fire department, maybe the police department, they'll have a child safety seating day where you can come in and get your child set up. And you want to make sure that the seatbelt's connecting them in the right place. You know, it's covering them across their, not across their neck, it's going across their shoulder, and it's fitting snug across their hips. And a technician has been trained for oodles and oodles of hours to recognize when it's a bad fit and recommend something different. So if you're not sure, I definitely recommend reaching out. You can also go on the Maine Bureau Highway Safety website, and they've got links to where some of those fitting stations are.
Stephen, we've posted that on our Facebook page and on our web page as well. So good luck to you. I know an 8-year-old doesn't want to be sitting in the same kind of seat a much smaller kid does. We have a Facebook comment from Greg. How is the 3 feet car bike buffer determined? Distance between the furthest point on each, like the tip of the side view mirror and my handlebars, or something like the side of their door and my shoulder?
I'll give you the common sense, and then we'll let you do the law. So think of it as your child is riding that bike, and then figure out how much room you want to give your child or a family member, a loved one. You're giving them more than 3 feet. You need to make sure that you're well away from that child or whoever it is riding a bicycle.
Well, the technical answer is 3 feet, so that would be the actual space from the closest 2 points. But let's think about practicality. We're not going to be measuring that distance when somebody's passing them to see if they're in violation. So we have to use good common sense, and we're looking for an obvious violation. But 3 feet is a pretty specific amount, and it has to be. But the actual legal answer would be that's the closest distance between those 2 points.
Okay, we'll go to Bert calling from Milford. Hi, Bert. Go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. On the cell phone law, lots of vehicles, you know, police, fire, ambulance, tow truck, AAA trucks, taxi cabs, Bangor Hydro trucks all have two-way radios. What does the law say about use of a two-way radio? It's got a push-to-talk microphone.
The two-way radios are exempt. Citizen band radios and two-ways are exempt from the statute, so you can use them.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bert, for your question. We'll go to Clayton calling from Sangerville. Hi, Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, my question's about commercial vehicles. It's my understanding that handheld devices, even talking on the phone, has been illegal. I'd like to know if that is the case and has been the case, and does this new law affect commercial vehicles, even commercial pickups? Thanks.
Yeah, so it's been illegal, as you said, for years, probably for over 15 years, or as far back as I can remember, it's been illegal in a commercial vehicle to use a cell phone or electronic device, other than you were authorized to have a one-touch system. So you could wear a Bluetooth or a headset, and you could use that push-to-talk feature.
Clayton, thanks for calling in. Lucille, who called earlier, wants to know if cars have to stop if pedestrians have a walk sign. I'm guessing she's talking about the right-hand turn.
I guess I don't understand the question.
Do drivers need to stop when the walk light is lit?
Well, the walk light would be lit for the pedestrian, so they would be facing a red light, so yes.
Okay, so a Facebook question from Chris. Is it unlawful to have things hanging from the rearview mirror and cherubs on the dashboard? Very specific question.
Yeah, thanks for that question. So statute does prohibit you from putting something in your window, hanging it from your windshield, if it obstructs your view of the roadway. And that becomes the discretionary piece of that law. It has to obstruct your view of the roadway.
And practically speaking, what does that mean? Fuzzy dice are okay, but anything much larger is not?
Well, it depends on the size of the fuzzy dice. I think it really does come down to discretion. It could be anything. It could be an air freshener. If a police officer feels that it obstructs your view of the roadway, then it would be a violation of law.
But keep in mind, with this new law, people are starting to look for different devices that will hold their cell phone and not to put one of these up in your view. So if you're looking for a cradle, some of those attached by suction cup to the windshield, so you want to make sure you're not putting that up in your view as well.
What's your guidance? I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be ordering something, some sort of cradle for their cell phone. Does AAA have guidance on which are in the best position?
So, yeah, our recommendation is that you're not engaging with the device in the vehicle, whether it's even through your infotainment center. So with the one exception is a GPS. So that's when you're going to be looking for some type of cradle to hold it. And it's just keeping it out of your view so that you can have a clear view of the road.
in the state police guidance would be what we call the critical view is the area to stay out of. Don't put anything in your critical view, and that's the sweeper range of your windshield wipers. So if you think of where your wipers go, if there's a device or anything within that, that would be obstructing the public way, in our opinion. We understand that there may be some things, including part of a vehicle, that does get within that, and that's not what we're talking about. We don't want to add to what's already there.
Okay, so a lot of people have sort of their pass, their easy pass up near the rearview mirror, and that's not in that area where the windshield wipers are wiping.
Correct.
An email from Alna. Are police allowed to take your phone and check times or dates to see if you were texting prior to being pulled over?
The answer is generally no. For a police officer to take it, to demand it without your permission, you'd have to have a warrant or subpoena some type of record. So generally speaking, you can't just take it, no.
An email from Bruce. Smoking. Why is smoking while driving not distracted driving? Why is there not an immediate fine for throwing butts out the window while driving?
Well, again, it is illegal to throw the cigarette butt out the window. It's littering, so we would charge somebody with that if we caught them. I have charged with it, but I know exactly what they're saying. It's very frustrating, and I've been to several small fires on the side of the interstate over the years from somebody throwing a cigarette butt out the window. So I share their frustration. It is illegal, and they can be cited on the spot.
We'll go to Phyllis calling from Rockland. Hi, Phyllis. Go ahead.
Hi. When I lived in Germany, the law required that drivers keep their headlights on all the time, and as far as I know, that's still required, which unfortunately we don't have in Maine. And I have a question. What's the point of still having highway yield signs when no one ever yields? Thank you.
So from the headlight technology, the United States is a little bit behind on that. Currently, NHTSA is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They get to decide, what manufacturers can and cannot have in their vehicles. And then states also have the ability to decide on what those standards can be as well. But there are some technology in other countries, in Europe specifically, that are advancing. And I think we'll start to see those in the United States as well. You'll probably recognize that now there are some, with the illumination on the headlights, sometimes newer cars, the headlight will shut off when its blinker is on, just so you can see it a little bit better. So there's a lot going on in that area. So stay tuned for headlight technology. I think it'll improve to where it helps you see, but also it's not blinding to the oncoming vehicles. And for the yield, that's a tough one. And when you're trying to explain that, even sometimes here in Portland through our driving school, trying to teach somebody that English is a second language to them, yield, that doesn't really translate that well. It's hard to train them on what that means. And I think that's the case with just about everybody out there on the highway, too. So I always say best practice. Not worry about the law, but worry about best practice, and that is our job is to help people get onto the highway and move in an efficient manner. So whether you're up on the highway or you're yielding, you got to work together, make a gap so that people can transition into the highway safely and efficiently and keep traffic moving smoothly.
Yeah, I think you said it well. My point to the yield is it's a bit vague and ambiguous. We all know what stop means. A red light is pretty clear, but the yield is a little bit different, and people use their own interpretation of, do I have to stop or can I make it? And they're making a judgment call, and unless they're involved in a collision, they think that they were right. And so it becomes very difficult to enforce that.
Do you believe that it's best practice to, we talked about the left-hand lane before, if you see somebody coming onto the highway from an on-ramp, to move over into the left-hand lane to let that person have a gap?
If you can do it safely, I say absolutely.
All right, Phyllis, thanks for your call. We have an email from Harlan. If the legislature is so concerned about safe driving, why don't they lower the speed limit on the interstate? The maximum is now 70 miles an hour. We all know people go well over that speed limit, in some cases 90 miles an hour. I don't think that contributes to safe driving.
And they have adjusted the speed limit on the interstate over the last, 6 or 7 years. And they actually increased it. And then after recognizing, they increased it based on engineering standards. So, and they found out that didn't result in what they thought it would result. And then they lowered the speed limit. So we saw an increase in crashes on the highway. So I think they're looking at that. And it's really important that it's based on engineering and not on legislators that are policymakers that are trying to come up with safety standards. They do a good job at looking at it, but they rely on people like the lieutenant to come into the transportation committee, and also engineers from the DOT to fill them in on what's best.
Lieutenant Scott, if somebody is pulled over doing 90 and a 70, what's the fine?
Well, that's a good question. They lowered the fine amounts, but it's $230 right now.
All right. And what else? What other repercussions from that kind of? Is 20 miles an hour, is that a...
That's just a traffic violation. And when you're doing 30 or more over, it's a criminal offense. You can be arrested and taken to jail for that.
All right. Well, we'll go to Janet calling from Brunswick. Hi, Janet. Go ahead.
Hi. Going back to the caller about the headlights being very bright, I've also had difficulty with that, and it's as the days get shorter, I have to curtail my night driving. I have a regular sedan, and I think part of the problem is the height of some of the many larger vehicles now. But it's interesting that when I have a semi-truck or a delivery truck, a professional truck, behind me, I don't have that problem. It seems to only be with passenger vehicles, and I'm wondering if this just has to do with features that aren't really needed.
Yeah, I think, like, for example, my pickup truck has the ability to adjust the headlights for the beam to go higher and lower. And the design for that is if the back of the truck is filled with more weight, it'll adjust where the headlights go. So I think you're right. Depending on the vehicle's design, the headlights may be aimed in different directions, and it becomes a challenge because cars are higher and lower, and there's a lot of different vehicles out there. So headlights are definitely something that can be frustrating and glaring. The recommendation that we always give, that if you're heading towards a set of headlights and their high beams are on, or it may be just extremely bright, you look down to the right. Look at that white line on the edge, or the difference in the color of the pavement to the side of the road, so that you can control your vehicle as you wait for it to go by. You don't want to flash them, your high beams, because then that makes two drivers that are having a hard time seeing.
All right. Well, Janet, thank you for your call. We're almost out of time, but I just want to go to this email. Please clarify, if a pedestrian is facing a walk light, a cross street car is facing a red, but the parallel is facing a green light, who should stop and give right of way? And the bottom line, if I'm trying to abbreviate it, but if you've got a green light next to you, there's a pedestrian walking guy, and there's a pedestrian. The pedestrian has the right of way if you're taking a right-hand turn, correct?
Correct, if you're making a right-hand turn.
All right. All right. So thank you, guys. So many questions. Both of these men I know are available for questions, even outside of the radio. Lieutenant Bruce Scott with the Maine State Police's Traffic Safety Unit and Pat Moody with AAA of Northern New England. Want to note that tomorrow we're going to talk with Ken Burns and Dayton Duncan about country music. Have you been watching the series? You can call and give them ask your question or make your comment. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.